Hello, folks, and welcome to Vikings Territory Breakdown. I'm your host, Joe Oberle, senior writer at purpleptsd.com and vikingsterritory.com, joined each week by my co-host, Mark Craig, the eminent, I don't know if that's the word, writer emeritus, the NFL insider, the not one of us Cleveland native, Mark Craig from the Star Tribune and startribune.com. Mark is our connection out to TCO Performance Center, where the Vikings are hard at it at OTAs and producing a little bit of news for us to talk about. Mark, you've been out there the last few weeks. How's it been going? And I hear Kirk Cousins is chatting away.
Writer emeritus. I hope I'm not. That means I'm dead, right?
Does it? I don't know. I figure that's
the point. I don't know.
Dictionary. I don't know if we have a dictionary
between. Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's May. It's June now. So,
Kimura Lawn.
Yeah, I mean, these. We're supposed to pump this up, right? It's they're practicing, Joe. It's June. It's
Mark. They're getting better.
Yeah, there's some talent on this team. It doesn't come through when you're running around in shorts and stuff, but everybody that kind of looks good this time of year. It's hard to get excited about it because right now there's not enough. We don't everything they say you kind of take it. You give them the benefit of the doubt, and they're they got a plan for Garrett Bradbury, and they got a plan for all these different people that haven't necessarily worked out in recent years.
There wasn't a problem last year. They got it all fixed.
Yeah. I mean, everything has been fixed. We just have to see it, come to fruition, as Leslie used to say. So what was your question, Joe? I got stuck on the emeritus part.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll scratch that one from my lexicon. There's another big word. Kirk Cousins spoke last week, came out and chatted about things. And I thought it was you sent me a bit of the transcript from the presser. And, as usual, Kirk is, as I said in my intro to this piece, he's very good at saying a lot of words and not really, saying too much to chew on, but he's very astute at that. But he said a few things interesting. He said, that taking on this new offense yet again in his career, it's a five or sixth new offense I think he's had in the last 6 years. I don't know. And he said that it was a lot of work, and he was like doing flashcards to get it all committed to memory. And it was like he was an eighth grader cramming for a test. Well, if you look at his past history, he should be good at this by now. I mean, with the new offensive coordinator he is this year and slightly different offense, he said that he was cramming. And same point, he also said that it's not that, there's some basic things that go throughout the league, so he's saying it's hard, and at the same time he said it shouldn't be that hard because we should, there's some things you don't have to pick up that much. I don't know. It's Kirk talking circles around the media, Mark, and I'm sure your head is still spinning, right?
Yeah. I mean, Kirk, maybe more so before COVID, I thought Kirk really tried. I think he still tries to answer, but he's tries a little less. I think I'm not talking about what he's talking about in this regard, but there was, early when he first came here, you would ask him a question about protection or something. He might have let a little too much out, was kind of viewed as like throwing people under the bus. And I always hated that when people would say that, because especially if you're in the media saying that, because you're asking a question, you're asking for a little bit of insight. And if they happen to say what actually happened, then it's you're throwing someone under the bus. But then I think when COVID happened, there was so much kind of against him. The public was against him. I believe the media in general was kind of against his stance and everything. And I think he sort of kind of shut it down a little bit last year. You kind of saw a guy that was a little more subdued when he was, in front of the media. Now, this past week, you get the sense that he didn't come out. I sort of laughed, and we had to kind of call BS is when he was asked about the difference. Is there any difference between now and with O'Connell and Zimmer? And
zero.
He said, there's more similarities than differences. I kind of chuckled at that. But it sounds like, you know, him saying a lot of it's kind of the canned stuff you always hear. But for him to say it's kind of fun, again, sort of told a little bit about this is going to be a more fun atmosphere for him. Whether it's successful or not, we don't know. But I think there's more of an understanding of like trying to work with Kirk as opposed to here's what we're going to do and you better do this and kind of more regimented. But, you know, Kirk's more of a regimented guy. So it'd be interesting to see if all of this give and take and this collaboration that they keep and this culture that they keep, you know, drum beating is going to actually mean anything, you know, and because they're happy now, but if they start 0-3 or 0-4, doesn't matter who the coach is, no one's going to get fired this year. But if they start out, the happiness, the kumbaya is not going to be around. So
there'll be happiness. It's just the way. Kentucky. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You say culture and you say kumbaya and what have you, but I suspect it probably is good for him because Kirk is always a positive guy. He's got the big smile. He's got, you know, when he came from Washington, they all talked about this perfect couple and this perfect family and, you know, the everything going great for him. And he seems to probably thrive in that environment. He's a very positive guy. He's a very religious guy. He's, you know, looking at the good side of life. And maybe Zimmer, you know, Zimmer's, you know, cantankerous, you know, and in a good way. I mean, that's who Zim was. He's a little bit cranky, a little bit, you know, he was a grinder, you know, and he might not have had the just joyous atmosphere around TCO or Winter Park that Kirk could have thrived in. So maybe this is, at least right now, like you say, before the games start, the perfect place for him to be happy and him to want to dive in and crank on those flashcards and study like an eighth grader and just, you know, to really learn the offense. You like hearing that he wants to know the offense so that when you're out there, you don't have to make any decisions. I don't know. It, for me, it kind of displays the difference between him and he said something about there's still a lot of tension and even tension in practice, Mark, one of the quotes you sent me. And I thought to myself, good Lord, man. I mean, you're like 8-9 years in the league and you're still tense.
11.
In practice. I mean, when I see the face of Aaron Rodgers out there, I see a guy that is so comfortable, unless you throw him a wrinkle like Zimmer would. He's so comfortable just, you know, playing the game that, you know, it is all great to him. And Kirk is the other kind of guy. He's got that little bit of freak out on his face sometimes when the rush is coming and he's got to get rid of the ball. I don't know. It's a different personality anyway.
Well, I think that he's 7 years now. It's been 7 different offensive coordinators in a row. You know, 2 of those guys got head coaching jobs, so it's not like there was always a problem with Zimmer and his offensive coordinator. And well, another one of those guys retired. Gary Kubiak had enough of the COVID and all that year and decided to, you know, unlike a lot of these guys, he wanted to go ahead, you know, relax and retire again. So, yeah, I think the tension he's talking about is like learning the new system, learning, you know, wanting to get better. And so, yeah, like Aaron Rodgers doesn't even show, I don't think he even comes to this, even though he got the big, you know, yeah, extension, he doesn't come to this OT. I think he's going to be there for their mandatory mini camp, but he's not there for this. Of course, you know, there's a lot more continuity throughout Aaron Rodgers in that Green Bay career, as opposed to Kirk. Now, having said that, Kirk has played a role. You know, he's not the only reason, but he's played a role in, you know, Jay Gruden not keeping his job, Mike Zimmer not keeping his job. Now, there's no where the relief, I think, comes and where the fresh start comes is not so much how they look at the different, you know, look at the world differently. And Kirk is, you know, trying to present the Ken Doll image and Zimmer is more of the, you know, Oscar the Grouch image. And I think it has to do with offense, defense. Zimmer last year, obviously, the pressure. Kirk wasn't going to go anywhere, or if he was going to go somewhere, he was going to still take his money and play somewhere else. The pressure last year was on Mike Zimmer, and whenever it got to where Mike Zimmer, the noose was tightening, Mike Zimmer was not, you know, is this happy-go-lucky guy that Kevin O'Connell is, and but this is a new regime. They got it. There's a honeymoon period. He's an offensive guy. He played the position, not as well as Kirk, but he played the position. He understands it. Everything about him is bent that way toward alongside Kirk. So
Doesn't that put a lot of pressure on Kirk, because now everything's there for you? A little bit more improved offensive line. You still got the weapons out there. You're going to get one of your weapons back in Irv Smith. You got the coach, the offensive minded coach, who's going to listen to you, who's going to make everything nice and hunky dory for you. Isn't that, you know, if the offense fails this year, don't we have to look at number eight a little bit more than perhaps?
Well, yeah, but by this, you know, this, the mastery of, you know, someone had said it, I don't know, somewhere along the line, someone said Kirk's pen that he signed all these contracts should go in the Hall of Fame because of, you know, he was the first guy to get a multi-year guaranteed contract. He's the first guy in NFL history to get that. And he's continued to, I mean, what he's done, and he's taken gambles on himself and to stay healthy, which he has. He's an amazing durability. And, putting up numbers, which he's managed to do. The big question mark, the thing that needs to be done now, is can he lead a team? Can he lead a team that's maybe has some injuries and has some things they have to overcome? Can he be the guy that makes everyone around him better and covers up some injuries and covers up some mistakes and, you know, carries consistently a team? That has not happened. And he's going into year 11, and now he's got – probably the best situation that he's ever had. And I don't know if pressure is the right word. The guy has had guaranteed money for however many years. But I do think that it succeeding is important to him. He's not a lazy guy that's going to mail it in.
Right.
If anything, his problem, as I see it, over the years, he's been too regimented, too stuck in his own mind as far as perfection, as opposed to, I don't want to say, was it great as perfection is the enemy of great, whatever it is, whatever cliche is out there, Joe, is that he's always been a little too process oriented, a little too, I've got to know everything and not having a feel to the position. It's hard for me to sit here and blather on about it, 'cause I haven't played that position. I haven't played that level, but as I observe it, having observed a lot of people in this game, is that that's, I see him as trying sometimes too hard as opposed to letting it happen.
Do you think that with this new regime and how comfortable he so far feels in it and how happy he is, do you think that can change things for this offense and for this team, that he can be that leader that you said he's got to be? Because now he's got a direct pipeline to the head coach. The head coach is not going to shut him out. He's not going to not talk to him for a month. He's not going to sit down and have film sessions with him. I'm sure that they will spend a lot of time together figuring out, is that the missing piece that can help Kirk get to that, what you said, the only thing he's missing, not only winning, but just leading a team to those wins and then maybe a deep run in the playoffs?
I suppose it can't hurt, you know, but, you know, I guess I look at it more of like, is he going to be protected? And is he going to, I think that they'll probably come to some, where this relationship might benefit him best is that there might be more of a, understanding or a commitment to what Kirk does best, as opposed to, hey, we're gonna do this, this, and this, and Kirk's got to make sure he does that. There's also been a school of thought on the other side that sometimes Kirk, you know, maybe hid behind some of that stuff, like maybe the Cowboys game. They have a backup quarterback, and Kirk, you know, the feeling by some was that maybe Kirk was like, hey, all I had to do was not throw an interception, not turn the ball over, and we're going to win that game. Well, if you look back at that game, that was one of Kirk's – was a horrible game.
Yeah.
Playing Cooper Rush, their backup quarterback, at home, prime time, and they lose. And Kirk, you know, was kind of one of those where he was just in this shell of like, I just don't want to, I want to get through this game without doing anything wrong. And it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to lead them to victory. And that's where I think people are saying is like, can he be that leader? Can he, you know, it's part of it. It's like you have it or you don't have it, you know, and some of this he doesn't have, but certainly you can win with him. It's just always been, can he, whenever your left tackle goes down or your couple games every year where there are a couple, you know, two, three games without Dalvin Cook, seemingly always that when Dalvin Cook is like, you know, hey, could he be an MVP in the league or could he be all pro? And then it's like, yeah, he gets dinged up and then he's out for a couple of games. Now that's understandable, I guess, with the running back position, but Kirk's got to be that guy that's there every week making people better.
You know, maybe pressure is the wrong word. I mean, cause when you go, you look at the two biggest, most contentious, battles in society right now. It's the right and left politically in this country and Kirk and not Kirk in this country. So
right,
pressure might be the wrong word, but I say given everything that I think so far looks like it's going to be set up for him and he stays healthy, we are going to know who Kirk is after this season. We're going to find out if he can lead the guys to greater heights, if he can make them better, if he can lift them up and make them better than they are. That's what you've always seen over the border in Green Bay. You know, no matter who they throw up out there with Rodgers, he's still going to put points on the board. He's still going to win ball games, and they're still going to win the division, and they're still going to go and maybe even make it to the NFC title game.
Yeah,
I guess, Kirk do that.
Right, and I guess in a perfect world where you weren't looking at salary caps and you weren't looking at salary, it's completely unfair to be judging Kirk, but judge him alongside Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is one of the best that's ever played the game. Aaron Rodgers sees and processes and plays the game at a level that Kirk doesn't play at and Kirk can't play at. But that's not a knock on Kirk. That's just who Aaron Rodgers is. But when you start looking at, you know, I mean, Kirk is more against the Vikings cap than Aaron Rodgers is against the Packers cap. So, you know, they need to there were times last year, I remember we were saying, you know, that, hey, that's what they're paying him for. And you talk about Kirk being a split down the middle, sort of like the country is. Mm-hmm. Those are whenever you got the people that did hated Kirk email and tech or, you know, not texting, thank God. Emailing and all, you know, just ripping you a new one. Oh, you're one of those Kirk apologists, blah, blah, blah. And then Kirk would have, you know, some crappy games like Cowboys or these different games where he disappeared and you'd be like, hey, this is where they need the guy that's making all this money. And then you'd get all the people that love Kirk saying, oh, come on, it's, you know, it's the line, it's the defense, it's, you know, so yeah, I mean, it's like Kirk is like this. And the people that cover him and that don't have an agenda, we follow along like that. So you get pot shots from both sides. So, yeah, he needs to have this is a guy in his early 30s, year 11, and we're still talking about potential and where, you know, this is the year where we think we're going to find out. Certainly, it certainly seems like it because, but the way that his contract is, you know, they think they kick this can another year down the road with him mm-hmm. and other guys. So it'll be interesting to see. To me, it's a good problem to have. You make the Super Bowl, you win the Super Bowl, then you just write Kirk a check and you keep him around. But if they don't do that, then it's, you know, they're right back at, hey, what do we do with Kirk? Do we extend him and get his cap number down? You know, and that's been like that in his career going back to the last two years in Washington. So it's amazing what how he's been able to maximize himself based on his, you know, staying healthy and putting up good stats.
Just not good enough to make that an easy decision each year. Each year it's going to be contentious, you know, then again, Rodgers is, you know, his play makes it easy, but his brains make it more difficult the way he likes to, you know, mess around with his.
Well, yeah, you put up with more when you get more. Yeah. I mean, it's at one point they were, you know, okay, hey, We got Jordan Love. You know, we're gonna Jordan Love's the future. Well, now Jordan Love, who knows? Jordan Love isn't the future. Jordan Love's contract's gonna run out by the time. So he forced them to, you know, by winning one MVP. You know, it's like, well, you know, if he went, he played this year and then he's done. Well, he won MVP. And I was like, well, okay, well, now he's done after this year. Well, he wins MVP again. And they keep putting up 13 wins. They keep, you know, doing what they're doing to the point where, and this is Rodgers, you know, probably should. I think it was Terry Bradshaw that hit the nail on the head. Was why is he worried about Jordan Love? You know, and that, but that's Rodgers. There is a certain insecurity inside his head, is what I perceive. Just from the times we've asked questions to him, and if it's not, you don't approach Aaron Rodgers with the, with a knee bowed and your head down, and oh, here's my question, Mr. Rodgers. He, you know, kind of takes offense to it. And maybe that's what makes him a great player. I don't know.
Maybe he doesn't want to see happen to him what happened to Favre, because he was on the other side of it. I don't know. Maybe he just
you would have thought that he'd have more understanding of that. But bottom line is he just kept playing great. He got the record deal, and the Packers have a piece that I don't know what they're going to do with Jordan Love. Maybe they do keep him. If I'm Jordan Love, I'd be like, hey, when do I get to start my career, you know?
I think we need, speaking of politics, I think we need Liz Cheney to look at this. She spent some time in Washington with Kirk Cousins. Maybe she can tell us if he's the man or not, huh? I don't know. Maybe not. Well, on that note, before Mark even tries to answer that one, we'll take a break here and we'll come back and we'll talk about the news of the week with the Vikings and be back on Vikings Territory Breakdown. Okay, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown with myself and Mark Craig. Mark, quiet week up in Lake Wobegon, known as TCO Park, but a few things happened there. The Vikings brought in, this new regime brought in an old Viking, played for him last year, Dede Westbrook, wide receiver, for a workout this week. Haven't heard anything about it. I know there were some other teams interested in him. But after that happened, then came the news that they signed Albert Wilson, another receiver, veteran receivers, but not real veteran, but he's been around a few years. I don't know a heck of a lot about him, but I know that you took a look at him. Mark, what did you think about those moves and bringing in Wilson?
Yeah, I mean, he's a veteran guy. It can't hurt. He returned kicks, punts and kicks, not in the NFL, but in college at Georgia State. So I'm kind of thinking they're looking at that punt return job. I don't know for sure if that's what he's in for, but even if he's not, if he's just as another addition to their receiving, he's one of these guys that's, I kind of hate to say this, because when you look at the highlights, it's and I'm not comparing him to Tyreek Hill. Let's say he's an extremely, extremely poor man's Tyreek Hill. He's got that, you know, I don't know how tall he is, 5'8", 5'7", 5'9". He's got that jitterbug slot receiver look. He's quick. But nobody's quick or as fast as Tyreek Hill. But he looks like that a little bit. But he's never had big numbers. He's never, you know, he's got looked like really good skills, but he's never put up big numbers or great seasons. For someone that's on the street or available at this point, June 1st or May 31st, it's an interesting signing, I think. And I think they got him really cheap, and he has the ability to return punts and maybe be that third, fourth, or, you know, fourth receiver. I like that they're adding some interesting pieces to the receiver, you know, core, because I think they need that to be good, you know, because of how that position is changing so much. I mean, obviously he's not going to be your number one guy, but you know, they need depth there. And then this guy looks like he's an intriguing piece.
Didn't Kirk come out and say something about BC Johnson, about how he expects a lot out of him this year? And, you know, he's looking for him to make a comeback or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, not that he doesn't mean it, you know, but I mean, he's asked that at a podium. I would be interested to say, I don't know if it's ever happened that they've ever asked a guy and they said, oh, he's the laziest guy on the team, Joe. You know, there's no way in the world this guy's ever going to make it. Not that BC is that. I'm just, yeah. It's funny. Like when someone says, and that's why I like, a lot of times when I ask questions at a podium, you don't insert the name or you don't lead them, because they'll go wherever they'll pretty much go wherever you want them to take them, you know, if it's in a setting like that. So, yeah, I mean, BC was one of those guys. It was a surprise. He was kind of KJ before KJ, maybe not to the degree that KJ was last year.
I think I
was more impressed with what KJ did, especially like early, maybe his first game where he had that fourth down catch of fourth and six, and Kirk didn't have the best throw in the world, and it was under pressure, and he dove and made this great catch, and then he kind of kept. I don't know what it doesn't really matter what his
wild, and they want to talk about him, and they think he's the next. Randy Moss, you know, I mean, as soon as that
like a KJ Osborne or a BC, it doesn't matter what their numbers are, because they're not going to have numbers that when you stand back and at the end of the season go, wow, you know, 30 catches for 400 yards and three touchdowns. Where the guy like that comes into play is whenever it's late in the game and, Jefferson's covered and Thielen's covered, and you know, if you play in a really good team that can cover both those guys, and then you see a KJ Osborne open for that touchdown in Carolina in overtime to end the game, that's where the guy like KJ or BC or this Albert, that's where they come in, I think, is, you know, they're not going to be the Justin Jefferson numbers or the Thielen touchdown red zone numbers. They're the guy that's, hey, when they're saying, hey, we're not going to let Jefferson beat us, we're not going to let Thielen beat us, who's that third guy, that fourth guy maybe, that's going to be the guy that did make a great catch?
What about Smith-Marset? Do you see anything, a possibility that, you know, I mean, they're bringing in more receivers, so they must not be set with their depth yet, obviously. You see anything from him that he could – I mean, he had a couple minor flashes last year, but not a whole lot, huh?
Yeah, Biner. I'd say that when you see more guys come in like that, it's probably not. It's a good indicator that he's probably. They don't view him probably the way that the previous regime did, but they'll let it play out. You know, it's if he has a great preseason, but at this point, I would say that he's probably not as high on the list. I mean, they'll say something differently if you were to ask him, but you know, actions speak louder than words in situations like that. He did look like a decent – he had some decent kickoff returns, but nothing, you know, jumped off the charts.
That's really important for a wide receiver or even a running back to have that multiple skill set. I mean, I get so frustrated with, you know, you're always – every year trying to get 53 guys on the roster, and it's always so hard to do because, you know, you got to get depth on it. And – my frustration is they can't just get one guy that can return both kicks, punts and, you know, kickoffs. It's a different skill set. I mean, why can't Nwangu sit back there and catch kickoffs he does catch kickoffs. Why can't he kick return punts? You know, I just don't get it. Yeah.
You old guys, you don't understand the NFL specialization, Joe. Come on. What, do you want him to go both ways now?
Yes, god dang. Then we could get all kinds of good guys on the team, you know. You wouldn't salary cap and get in the way. Anyway, you would think, I mean, did Cordarrelle Patterson do both when he was there?
No, he didn't return punts.
Okay. And I suppose Marcus Sherrill did, and Marcus Sherrill didn't do so well in kickoffs or vice versa. I can't remember, but
well, yeah, Marcus he returned some kickoffs, so he could do it, but he was, I mean, probably the most – he's the best kick – he's best punt returner in team history, but he's the most understated. I think they're finding out now just how good he was because, you know, he would, you know, sneaky. I think he had five or six touchdowns.
And he always made the first guy every time.
Yeah, he was all-around special teams player. There was one year with my AP vote, the special teams player, which is – it's not the returner. It's not obviously not kicking and punting. It's that third. It's just called a special teams guy. I think the Slater guy from New England would win it every year. There was one year I voted for Marcus Chorales because he was a gunner. He was on all special teams. I think that was a year where he was returning kicks and punts. Just an outstanding special teams player and the quietest player that I've ever tried to talk to and tried to get him. It wasn't in a Trey Waynes way. It was in a, I'm just this really, really quiet guy.
Right.
And I don't want to talk about myself. Polite, nice, but just had nothing to say.
He would stand there and do it if there was news on him during the week and he would do it, but you could tell he wasn't enjoying it. But he wasn't a jerk about it either.
So no.
I agree with that. maybe someone who could have been, well, I don't want to say that. Chris Thomason from the St. Paul Pioneer Press, who likes to make those calls to players' families and such and friends and get the quotes. We came up with one this week from Kellen Mond's dad, third string quarterback Kellen Mond, who was a rookie last year and didn't apparently get out of Mike Zimmer's mouth. According to Kellen Mond's dad, when Kellen was drafted in the third round, it was did not make Zimmer happy, so he went into the doghouse. And then when he got COVID and not having taken the shot, I believe, that made it even worse. So for Zimmer, and Zimmer was really kind of unhappy about that. And then it came to that last game of the year when everybody thought that Mond would finally get a chance to get on the field, and Zimmer made that famous quote that said, "I don't need to see him. I see him in practice every day." So Kellen Mond's dad said that was Zimmer's way of striking back at Rick Spielman, who made that third round pick when Zim probably would have liked a defender for his flagging defense from last year. So Mark,
well, maybe Rick,
that comment.
Yeah. So I know it's June 1st, when the words, according to Kellen Mond's dad, are being said. So who says there's a slow day in the NFL? There isn't a slow day in the NFL. I would say, Zimmer didn't want him. I would guarantee that Zimmer didn't want him. Zimmer looked at this as his. Zimmer wasn't looking for the future. Zimmer was in a position where I know at the end he kind of acted surprised when I asked him in a podium. I should have just asked him off to the side, but asked him in a podium, said him about his, coaching for your job. And he was like, and he kind of went, am I coaching for my job or a hot seat? I said, you're on the hot seat.
Yeah.
And he says, hey, am I on the hot seat? And I say, yeah, rumor has it. And, I don't think he was happy about that, but he did know. He felt the pressure. He knew he had to win. It was a big year, and he's drafting a guy that's not going to play. Kirk. He's not going to beat out Kirk. He's not going to be experienced enough to be your trusted number two. It's a wasted pick in Zimmer's career. And as it turns out, it's a wasted pick in Rick Spielman's. Rick Spielman might want a mulligan on that to try and
– He was looking to the future, yeah. And he didn't have a future.
If you want to say he's in the doghouse – whatever. Zimmer's a defensive guy. It probably would have been better for Kellen Mond if Gary Kubiak was there to kind of nurture him and every, as opposed to Clint, who's trying to figure things out of his own things out. So Zimmer's not going to be that cuddly, offensive guy that's going to nurture the third string quarterback when he's trying to save his job. If there's a doghouse involved, when we got to the preseason games and Kellen Mond looked like he was about, Kellen Mond was the set, for all the old school watchers, Kevin Mond is the 78. He's moving at the 78 speed and the rest of the team is moving at 45. He looked overwhelmed. He looked slow. He looked like he didn't know what he was doing. And that's in the preseason. And that's in training camp. And not to say that this guy won't become a good player, but he was of no use. And then, fast forward to the end. I've said this a few times about what was going on. And, Kirk Cousins getting COVID and not being there for Green Bay is the kill shot, ironically, that takes Zimmer's out. Zimmer knows that he's done. I had to have known he's done. And now you're asked about it. You're going to see Kellen Mond the next week. Two things. One, I don't blame Zimmer for, Zimmer's still trying to win games. You could say that, it doesn't matter. Well, it would matter to me if I was my last game and you're putting together, you're trying to win, because they are paid to win no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And Kirk Cousins, I guess, maybe I'd be in the same boat. I'd be like, I'll be damned if I'm going to let this guy stay wherever he was or take off and enjoy his last week and not have to play. And, we're going to try and win. They did win that game. They did win the last game, right, Zimmer? Yeah, at home. So
did they? Yeah.
Yeah, they won the last game at home. So
against the Bears.
If you're Kellerman's dad and you think there's a conspiracy to get your kid, that doesn't surprise me. But it's a professional league, and this guy was not ready to help him, and he didn't participate because he wasn't ready. Now I will say that. I defended Zimmer a little bit there, but I will say that this guy is going to be in much better hands where he's at now with this regime that's offensive oriented, and B, they're not got someone pinned up against the wall like you got to win or you're going to be fired. So
we'll talk about that in the next segment. Mark, I hate to do this to you, but you called me old earlier, so I'm going to tell you the advantage of it. I think you got that metaphor wrong. I was old enough that my mom had 78 and we had 45s when I was growing up. I think the 78 goes around faster because it's 78 RPMs, I think, or I believe. Now, I could be wrong on that, but I thought that thing was really whipping around. The 45s are slower, and the 33 and a third are even slower. I think that's how that
works. Oh.
But
wow. So I'm like, I'm trying to pretend like being an old guy, and I wasn't old enough.
Exactly.
But yeah, they had the little inserts that you put on the singles. That was a 45, right?
Correct.
Those were moving.
Yeah.
I thought those would have been moving faster. Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Well, this is what I'll say this.
Kellen Mond was moving much slower than everyone else.
Yes. Your point was made regardless. I just had to get you back for calling me old because I'm only a little older than you. Anyway. Some bad news out of TCO and not necessarily out of there, but in the NFL with the passing of Jeff Gladney, a former cornerback from the Vikings that Zimmer drafted a couple years ago. And he had some trouble off the field, had a lawsuit over, I think, an assault with his girlfriend, and then he was exonerated. And by that time, the Vikings had already cut him, and he got picked up by the Cardinals. Well, this the other day, he got in a car accident, and him and his girlfriend both passed away. And it's a sad deal, and I just wanted to mention it because the guy had promise here before things kind of spiraled away for him. And it's too bad for him and his family to where things have gone now. So I just want to throw that out there, offer our condolences, and let people know about that. Any thoughts on that, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the sadder kind of unfoldings because he was a guy that he had to start. I mean, I think he started every game his rookie year, or only missed one or whatever it was. That was a year when you had COVID, so you didn't have an off season. These it was just the perfect storm for Zimmer and that 2020 team, because they had to get rid of all their corner, top three corners, all left. Xavier Rhodes, Trey Waynes, Mackenzie Alexander left the first time. And then Zimmer, they brought in these rookies, and Gladney was, they drafted Gladney as because he's a corner over Antoine Winfield Jr. Played safety.
Too, right? Dantzler as well.
They took Dantzler in the third round. So, and those guys started, and then they had to ride with these guys. And it was, they didn't have an off season like you would normally have. And then there's no crowd, there's no home crowd. So it was just a bad, bad situation for those guys to have to play in. And then all the pass rushers got hurt and didn't play. So it was a bad year. So you sort of felt bad for, that's how the start that he had, although, there was a lot of promise in his rookie year.
Yeah.
And then he has this situation where the Vikings let him go after the grand jury indicts him. He later gets found innocent of those charges, and that's how he ends up in Arizona. And then you see this, and it's just one of those where you see a little too much of this, and I don't know the details of it, but you see it, and it's just, it breaks your heart because, you know, these are now younger than my kids, you know. Yeah. So you just look at it as almost like as a parent now, and you just see, you know, it's another one that's, you're talking, you know, minimum 50 years that he doesn't get to live. So
run way too.
That's a shame. It has nothing to do with football, and I don't know the details of what all happened.
Yeah.
But just one of those sad. It's also sad from a standpoint that, you know, that with because of COVID, and we still haven't come out to where, you know, he's a guy that we never saw in person. We never like talked to him in person because it was, you know, he wasn't a great interview. He wasn't a real talkative guy, but they put him out there quite a bit to talk to us. So you never saw him other than Zoom. It's kind of sad.
It's too bad. He gets past the one issue that he had that where he, you know, he lost a year with the Vikings, you know, his career got waylaid, and you were kind of hoping, okay, he was found innocent. You know, okay, this guy can retrench, get out. It felt some regret that it wasn't here in Minnesota because he did show some signs. But you hoped for the best for him. And so it's sad. It's just sad news. And sorry to have to talk about it and report it. But on that note, we'll take another quick break here at the Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast. And we'll be back with some more news and notes in a bit. Welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast with myself and Mark Craig. Mark, a couple other folks talked this week, or there's news from them, is Ed Donatell, the defensive coordinator, spoke to the media, and he talked a little bit about, he was asked about calling plays once again, something he did with, you know, in the past, and then he worked with Vic Fangio after that, who called all his own plays. And he made the quote, you know, it's like, you know, it was asked, what's it been like seeing everyone adopt the schemes that you and Vic ran? He says, that's really a compliment. Vic and I came together 12 years ago. We melded our systems. So my question to you is, with as closely knit as those two defensives are, and there was talk at a time when the Vikings were going to try to sign Vic Fangio, did they get him without even having to sign him? Is that what him and Ed Donatello, the same defense, or what do you think there?
Well, you know, Ed said it was like riding a bicycle. So, and I like Ed. Ed's a fireball. It's like the way he looks and acts, you know, he's 65, but he looks like he's 50, you know, and kind of acts younger. He said it's like riding a bicycle. He hasn't ridden that bicycle in 20 years or close, damn close to 20 years. Hasn't called play since the Packers and Falcons. So in the early to mid 2000s.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, you know, Vic went down there and the head coach that got coach of the year, it was basically drawing a blank on his name, but they just got fired. But that guy wins coach of the year in part because Vic's defense was amazing. That, you know, that what
right.
They were in 2000, would that have been 18? I think that Bears defense had like the takeaways were off the charts. Had like three years in a row where they were like terrible in takeaways, and Vic came in. And so Vic, you know, Vic is one of those like Wade Phillips and what's although Wade had more cracks at being a head coach. I think Wade was actually a better head coach than he was given credit for. But one of those defensive minds that was, you know, memorable defensive coordinators. I think, you know, and Vic went to Denver and it just didn't work out because he didn't have a quarterback. So, you know, maybe Zimmer can relate to that. But if that was Zimmer's feeling, obviously. But I think getting Vic maybe is a – it might have been a bigger pelt on the wall than, say, yeah. Donatell.
For sure.
But we'll see. You know, if Donatell, you know, getting Za'Darius Smith and Daniil, if those two are healthy, you know, Donatell is going to be a lot smarter than if those two get hurt. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of it comes down to the players. Do they have the right players? Do they have enough players? And if they do, he'll look smart. And if they don't, then he'll look like, you know, that they may give up 400 points again this year.
That coach from the Bears was there and gone so quick, I can't come up with his name either.
It's amazing how, you know, you just names.
Couple of old guys just doing a podcast. Well, you know, speaking as we were earlier of Kellen Mond, here's a little bit brighter side of news for Kellen Mond, where Wes Phillips talked. The son of, you brought up Wes's dad, Wade, and his grandfather, Bum Phillips, that family tree. This is, that's an actual coaching tree, I'm telling you. You know, from Wade, from Bum to Wade to Wes. But he said he's picking up the offense very well. Kellen is very sharp. I don't know if you guys have seen him out there working with Jared Johnson, extra jewelry, blah, 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 blah. But he's pumping up the Kellen Mond takes, and you know, there's still a lot of people who have spent, who were, you know, just bitter last year because they didn't get to see him, because there was a lot of people that was excited when Zimmer drafted him, and we didn't get a really good look at him. And now maybe with an offensive mind, you intimated this earlier, coaching him, maybe there's a chance for him to learn the game and bring those multi skills, because he's might not know the game yet, but he's an athletic quarterback. He's young and fast and can get out of the pocket. At least he did it at Texas A&M. Is that where he was from, if I recall? You know, what do you think? What do you think of Wes's comments, and what do you think of the chances for Kellen Mond to actually maybe becoming what they thought he was? One more thing. I kept seeing online about Kellen Mond. Where would he have gone this year in quarterbacks if he had come out in this draft? And I just, you know, to me that seems kind of silly. But
That's a good question. I don't higher than where he went last year, I would think. But when people would say that they didn't draft a quarterback, you know, I listened to what Wes said. I listened to some of what Kevin O'Connell said, and I remember saying, you know, if they draft a quarterback in the middle of rounds, that tells you all you need to know about what they how they feel about Kellen Mond.
Right. It must have hurt.
You know, so to me, it's like he is their rookie quarterback. I mean, last year was a wash.
Yeah,
it was a bad situation. And frankly, what was he going to do? I mean, he's not a he's not a guy that comes in like, say, Justin Fields, that comes in and runs around, or he's not that type of player. People might think he's that type of player, but if you look at him, he's not the biggest guy in the world. I don't view him that way. You know, like, say you bring him in and you play him, like you make up gadget plays for him where Kirk comes out. You know, to me, it's like, if he plays, that means something's wrong with Kirk and something's wrong with probably Mannion. He's just a guy that's got to be developed. And, you know, there could be a situation here in the next couple of years where you need a young quarterback to take over. And, you know, I sort of view him as Kevin O'Connell's project and his rookie quarterback, really, who's got a little bit of NFL experience now. And you work with him going forward. So, I would think that this is a guy that has had a year of what it's like to be in the NFL, what it's like to study in the NFL. And I'm sure that, you know, Kirk is would be a good guy to learn from in that regard, yeah, as far as, you know, a work ethic on how to learn stuff. I don't know if you want to pick up all of Kirk's traits when it comes to the tediousness or all the details that's inside of Kirk's head. But, you know, I think work ethic would be one thing that Kirk could pass on to him.
You know, it's interesting. You said he's a rookie, you know, last year's a wash and he's a rookie this year. And it is, I agree with you, but it can't be a complete wash, because we have where he was coming off of college and being somewhat touted and being in this nice, good quarterback class. Now he's got a bit of a taint to him, a stain on him, because he's had this year where he was in the doghouse. So it's all about perspective, and it has nothing to do with his abilities or his future or anything. But it's all in our perception, because last year everybody was giddy about him. A lot of people were. And now we're a little bit, we have to temper that a little bit, because he's had this year where he didn't get a chance to do anything. So,
yeah, I think the preseason will be interesting to see him, because I would imagine he'll get a fair amount of play in the preseason, I would think. To me, you know, those games are so hard to watch, but I think watching him, just seeing if there's some improvement from last year, because you look at the Kyle Sloters of the world, and they find a way to be a star in the preseason, and it's like, you know, this is a guy who was drafted pretty high. He should be able to, like, start showing some signs, even though it's preseason, and, you know, do something to kind of, yeah, move the needle a little bit. So, you know, granted, this is not a year. This is a year where it's all on Kirk. But, you know, behind the scenes, there's got to be, you know, some, you know, at least this is plan B, and you might need a plan C, D, or E, depending on what's going on for your next quarterback. But at least this is a guy that you're going, okay, if, you know, we may need this guy in a couple of years.
Well, you said earlier, that, and you say it every week, oh, if there's a, we've been a segment, let's talk about quarterbacks. So next week, we're going to have our Sean Mannion segment. Tune in for that.
Sean, we'll break down the Packers game. The good, the bad, the worse, and the worst.
It's just funny. I mean, is, you know, what an oversight. Overthought, or, you know, I mean, you just don't even think about this, dude. You talk about Kellen Mond, you talk about Kirk Cousins ad nauseum, and Sean Manning's just there. He's, you know, but going then, every week, you know. So,
but when you get to be like a Sean Manning, the last thing you want to do, like Christian Ponder could probably still be in the league right now if he had just not had to play. You know, if you're just known as the guy who has experience, you could just stand there with that stoic look on your face. But when you actually have to go out there and play, like Christian did on that Thursday night or whatever it was in Green Bay, and Sean Manning had to play last year, that starts to, you know, the armor starts getting a little chipped. You go from being experienced to being, well, we could probably do this with a rookie free agent.
It's a weird thing, but Sean is salved by that paycheck. I don't doubt he's probably being paid pretty well. Yes. Wes Phillips said something else, kind of interesting, worth talking about anyway. He was asked to compare Justin Jefferson and Cooper Kupp, because he worked with one and now he's working with the other. And I just think that's interesting why those questions get asked, but maybe somebody's got a story. They're trying to do that. To me, they're not the same player, but Wes, you know, intimated a couple of similarities. He said, and some guys, yeah, you know, you're always working an edge, just like a pass rusher is always working an edge in the offensive lines. And some guys just have a little more natural. I think they're similar in that aspect. And he also said that they both can play all spots. So other than that, I don't see him as the same player. I see Cooper as a little bit stronger of a player than Justin, but Justin can fly deeper and he's going to get more deep balls maybe than Cooper Kupp does, but I don't know. They're both very good players and going to be great. And, you know, hopefully Phillips knows what to do with that, but you know, any thoughts on those comments, Mark?
Yeah. I mean, they're different players, but I'd say that they're, you know, their hands are both amazing.
Running.
Yeah. I mean, I they're just both really good players. I just see that, you know, Jefferson's probably the longer, you know, longer guy and more of the deep threat. But I don't know. Everyone's different. You know, I remember one time I was talking to Jim Brown, the Jim Brown, when I was covering the Browns, and I was talking to
him. I'm old.
Yes. And I actually was on a podcast once when someone asked me what it was like to watch Otto Graham play. Otto Graham retired in 1957. And I was like, I didn't see him. And actually Jim Brown was over in Europe filming the Dirty Dozen, and he retired while I was like 6 months old. So I didn't get to see Jim play, but my point being, is, you know, like talking about, like, you know, you get someone like that and you're obviously, I'm in my 20s or whatever, and I'm, you know, who's the greatest, this, who's the best, this, who's the, yep. And he just kind of leaned back, you know, looked at me, and I was like, I didn't know whether he was going to answer me or beat me up. And he just said, now, why does so-and-so have to be greater than so-and-so? Because whenever you get a phone call and it's from your dad or your mom or your, you know, your sister, blah, 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 whatever. Do you know who it is? And yeah. He goes, well, we all have the unique skills. You know, so, you know, so someone's voice is different than someone. So no two voices are the same. So no two forms of greatness are the same. So to me, it's like, you know, you talk to me, those are two of the top three receivers in the NFL last year. I know Jefferson ended up being fourth or whatever it was. He didn't get all pro, but on my all pro ballot, you know, those are two of my, obviously Cooper, when you do, you know, the triple crown of receiving like he did, you get, you're the guy. But Justin Jefferson to me was a top three receiver in the league. So however they do it, however they go about their business, they're two extraordinary players that Wes Phillips and this offensive minded staff has got to get the most out of him. And that also, Adam Thielen plays a big role in that as well.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I actually kind of bristle a little bit at that question, and it's on us as reporters. It's not lazy, but we're looking for a story. We're looking for an easy quote to compare this guy to that guy and say, is he this kind of player? Because then you can attribute all that to him, and it's easier to write. So I think it's a media thing that constantly wants one player, great player, compared to another, you know, to write a story, and fans probably like it too. I don't know, but it's to me, it doesn't inform you much.
Well, where you see some laziness, and I'm not, and no one in particular I'm criticizing, but whenever you, like when Thielen, you know, Thielen came onto the scene, and Thielen was kind of, at first he was kind of made fun of, like by peers. They went down to Cincinnati, and that's when they had Pac-Man Jones, and they had some pretty cocky corners down there. And I remember I did a story on, and Thielen was, he was in line, he was in the receiver line, and he's not Adam Thielen yet. He's still this, you know, undrafted guy that's just, I think he was off the practice squad. He was kind of a special teams player at that point. And Pac-Man Jones and them were like counting the receivers on the other side, and they didn't want to go against Thielen because they're like, he's beneath us. He's beneath us. Now, part of that might have been they didn't want to get shown up by him. But, you know, my point being, when you come to laziness comparisons, I think Thielen went through a spell where it was, you know, let's find whatever white receiver that we can compare him to. Oh, he's either next Wes Welker, or is he, you know, I mean, Adam's like, you know, 6'2". Adam's not a big guy, but Adam is fast. You know, he's got some height. You know, Adam is not your pigeonhole. Wes Welker, and then there's
all that trust of the ball, man.
That's like, yeah, the thing of like, wow, he would look good in the Patriots offense, stuff like that. It was kind of like, you know, it's you know, he's got a little more than the color of his skin, Joe. So
maybe I should back off then, because Justin Jefferson and Cooper Kupp don't have the same skin color.
That's what I'm saying. I almost would have, you talking about it being kind of lazy and whatever. My thing would have been more of like comparing Adam to who.
That's true. That's a good point. Well, okay, I'll back off and give
them. You know, everyone has their, you know, Adam and Justin Jefferson. If you can't get something out of these guys, you know, and the Vikings have gotten stuff out of them. I mean, the top 10, Gary Kubiak was, you know, last year with a bad promotion, a bad hire, Clint Kubiak, assuming that, okay, we just keep, you know, Gary's son, and we move everything over, and we're going to do what we did the year before. Not that they didn't have some good, you know, good offensive games last year. It's just, you know, it wasn't just the same. It wasn't going to be just because Clint, you know, was related to Gary, and we're going to just run that 2020 is going to happen in 2021. So there's enough talent on the offense. If the offensive line can hold its own and Kirk Cousins can be in that comfort zone we're talking about, then this offense should score points and should move the ball.
So throw the ball to Jefferson. So what the heck then is Kevin O'Connell wanting to establish the run like his predecessor, Mike Zimmer, huh?
Yeah, I have to laugh at there was a quote. I don't know. It goes back to even his introductory. It kind of jumped out at me. It's like, you know, anytime Zimmer made any kind of thing about like trying to control the game with the run. Now, maybe Zimmer took it a little too far sometimes, but you know, it's okay for the new age, the 36-year-old offensive Sean McVay apple from the Sean McVay tree to be talking about. You know, it's important to run the ball, and there's some people that follow this game that I'm not saying it should be 19th. It should be the 70s where the running backs are the stars. But to me, there's still something about running the ball and establishing, you know, that you can control a game, that you're going to win a lot of games if you can do that.
You have to. You got to keep them off edge. You know, if you know, more of that comment was Kevin O'Connell saying the same thing about, you know, you have to be able to do things and make it tougher on the defense so they don't know what's coming. And it occurred to me, so why don't you just run the same 11 people out there every play and quit substituting all these packages in this? You know, if you want to fool them, have those players do it all. I know you can't.
Yeah, and what you're seeing is – and what you're seeing is Kevin O'Connell really likes C.J. Ham. I mean – it's hard for him to disguise how much he likes
really
what he thinks he can do to be a little bit, because everybody's kind of assuming they're going to play the same way the Rams play. I think there's going to be some differences, you know, how they play. And a lot of it has to do with what they see in C.J. Ham. And well, the previous regime saw a lot in C.J. Ham as well. So I just find it funny that if it's said by one guy, it's perceived completely different. It's Zimmer and his running game. You know, it's not 1980, Mike. But if this guy says it, it's like, oh yes, he's got a point.
Oh, wouldn't that be funny if they just ran the similar offense to Zimmer? Oh my God, maybe Kirk Cousins' head would explode, or at least some of the fans. Anyway, well, on that note, I'll make one more point. I just saw in the news that Dustin Johnson, after saying he wouldn't go to Saudi Arabia, is going there to get a payday, you know, to make some money in this new thing. So maybe Phil wasn't so out of line as to what he was talking about earlier. But what I want to know is, when am I going to get my payday from you for, you know, pay me my beer for my winning the prediction season last year? Come on, Mark, what's the deal?
Well, if you didn't live up at the North Pole or you got a Zimmer has his ranch in Kentucky. You got yours way out there in Dakota somewhere. I mean, hard to get to.
We'll have to remedy that soon. Anyway, that'll do it this week for Vikings Territory Breakdown. Thanks for stopping by and checking it out. Thanks to Mark Craig. Thanks to Mike Walden behind the scenes. And we'll be back next year, but also next week to break down some more. So thanks again for tuning in. Until we see you again, Joe, skull.